95.9 FM W260CV Racine and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Crews are still searching a concert hall near Moscow where gunmen killed at least 137 people Friday night. ISIS claimed responsibility, but Russia blames Ukraine. CBS's Deborah Patta.
It's a charge Ukraine flatly denies and the U.S. has categorically repudiated.
It's D-Day for Donald Trump to put up almost $500 million in bond to cover his New York civil fraud judgment. CBS's Katrina Kaufman.
Trump did go to, he said, about 30 different surety companies to try to secure a bond, and he said that it was a practical impossibility to do so.
Rescue officials near Philadelphia have given up hope of finding a six-year-old girl alive after she fell into a creek Saturday that flows into the Delaware River.
We were always hopeful that we could find something, but now there's just without a doubt, once we had the sunlight on our side and we were able to do a much more thorough search, you know, it wasn't going to be a rescue, it was going to be a recovery.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's Republican U.S. Representative Mike Gallagher is resigning. His last day in Congress will be April 19th. Gallagher told the Journal Sentinel that he plans to enter the private sector and spend more time with his family. Due to the timing of his resignation, no special election will be held, and the seat will remain vacant until voters decide on his replacement in November. Governor Tony Evers signed another 44 bills into law on Friday. Among them is a bill that makes it a felony for school staff members to commit an act of sexual misconduct against a student. That includes any verbal or physical conduct that could be considered sexual in nature. Evers said that he's happy to sign the bill, but isn't happy that the bill is needed. Another bill signed into law further restricts strip searches of students by school officials. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Marquette gets past Colorado. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles reached the Sweet 16 with an 81-77 win over Colorado head coach Shaka Smart.
Man, they're a talented, talented team, and they got going in the second half. But our guys never blinked, never wavered. We stayed connected. You know, down the stretch, we got enough defensive stops to win the game.
Marquette headed to Dallas, where they'll play North Carolina State just after 6 p.m. Friday night. NBA in Milwaukee, a big night for Chris Middleton, who needed just one more rebound on the way to a rare triple-double, so he asked Doc Rivers to keep him in the game.
If I said a little word to Doc, I was feeling it. I realized I was 1 point away. Where I could be in control, I can hopefully knock down the jump shot like I did tonight.
Middleton, 11 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds, as the Bucks bounce the Thunder, 118-93. They host the Lakers tomorrow night. Hockey, the Badger women's hockey team losing 1-0 to Ohio State. The Buckeyes claim the national championship. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
On Matt Mayer on Air, we talk school board elections and the good, the bad, and please make it stop. Don't miss it.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Rain will develop this afternoon and continue through tonight and into tomorrow, with overall rain totals of a half inch to an inch by the time it winds down late tomorrow. Our high today, 52. The wind will be out of the south, 15 to 25, gusting to 30. Rain, windy tonight, 45. Tomorrow, rain will eventually change to a little snow. Our high tomorrow, 54. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now,
the
it's
Devil's
40.
Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas stations.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man, you go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
Oh. You do look like a
beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Monday on Nightlight, I welcome Capital Times entertainment reporter Rob Thomas. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Just move it. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, from what I see, March is going to exit like a lamb, but it's going to be a soggy, wet lamb at that. Come on in, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. So glad you're along with us. How was the weekend? Yeah, we went from that snow event that we experienced later on Friday into the weekend, and now we're going to turn that around and basically have a lot of mud and wet in our forecast. Today we've got showers on the way. Our daytime highs probably going to be right around 52 degrees, but like I said, that rain is going to be persistent. Some of it could be actually heavy overnight into Tuesday. More rain on the way tomorrow, 52 our expected high. Wednesday partly cloudy and 41. Thursday, sunshine and 48. Friday, mostly cloudy, 57 degrees. We'll see what kind of rainfall reports you can bring to me through the course of this week. Don't forget our talk text line for those weather-related notes or anything else, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist has weather details on the way.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Growing in leadership, you see it every day, whether you're an FFA member, a 4-H member, or in those clubs as a college student. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. And I've got LaShawna Vogel. She is UW River Falls Ag Day on Campus co-chair. You're having an event again this year. When's that event? And why don't you give us a little history?
So our event this year is happening on April 11th, 2024 at the UW River Falls campus. We're starting off at 9:30 in the morning, and we will be going strong until 2 p.m. until there's a little break with our dinner at 5 p.m. And this year is the 12th year we are hosting the event, so a lot of tradition there. And it's a great event for all students to come out to as we take over the middle part of our campus.
And you do have a theme for the event.
Yes, we do. So our theme this year is Growing for Generations. We picked this theme as we felt that there's a lot of traditions within agriculture, and we wanted to honor those traditions within agriculture, along with to provide some insight as to how agriculture isn't something that's going away and that we are continuing this tradition for generations to come.
And on April 11th, who's invited to come to this event?
All students of UW River Falls, along with our staff, faculty, community members, and along with some other key players in the community, along with Wisconsin and Minnesota Ag Royalty, are all invited to come out and celebrate agriculture and learn just a little bit more as well.
If you attend, what are you going to see? What are you featuring?
This year, we have a lot of our student organizations, which will be hosting booths there. There's a variety of trivia wheels to animals and other demonstrations, specifically from our student organizations. And we will also be hosting many activities every half an hour throughout the day from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Only during that time slot will there be fun activities like milk chugging and a few other things like that.
And really, what is the purpose of the event? I know you've talked about getting some interaction. Is this strictly for fun, or is it educational, or what is really the purpose?
Well, you hit the nail on the head right there. It is for fun, but it's also for educational purposes. This event is a multifaceted event in the way of, if you already know things about agriculture, it's a great event for you to interact and continue learning more, along with for those who might not know as much about agriculture to become better informed consumers of the agriculture industry. And it's just a great way for everyone to get together and learn more about the industry that means so much to all of us.
And we've been talking a lot about the people that are going to be attending it, from the students to youth to community members. But there has to be a lot that goes into planning for this. Can you give me a little insight on some of the groups that are going to be involved and what they do to plan for having an event of this caliber?
So myself, along with Aaliyah Cole, who is our other co-chair, we have been working diligently at planning this event since about August of this year. So there's a lot of time that goes into it. And starting in December, we split off and we got three additional committees to serve under us as our like working hands, trying to get different details of the event put together. We are primarily working through our Collegiate Farm Bureau, and on the day of the event, we could have anywhere from 15 to 50 Collegiate Farm Bureau members volunteering at once, in addition to a bunch of other student organizations. And those student organizations have recently signed up for having booths on campus that day.
And these student organizations, what kind of things are they going to be talking about?
Our student organizations all are required to have a primary focus on agriculture in their booth, but we wanted them all to highlight what specifically makes their club unique. For example, we have our equine physical therapy club, and they are going to be hosting some demonstrations of things related to that. We also have our block and bridle club, which will be bringing in some small animals for almost like a petting zoo, and there are numerous other clubs that have things that are specifically tied back to what their club does, just to get a greater overview of the entire agriculture industry.
It sounds to me like these clubs are showing off a little bit about what they do. Is the pull to get some hands-on events or get students to come to the college to immerse themselves in that particular section of agriculture?
I would say that yes, it would be for more of immersion within the different types of agriculture or the different areas of agriculture, but it's also a way for people to just interact together and learn together. While some of the booths are more interactive than others, we also have trivia stations at some of these booths as well, but those trivia stations are primarily tied back to what that club does as well.
Now, I'd like to talk a little bit about numbers. In the past, have you been able to pretty much fill up the campus and make it a super successful educational event?
In the past, yes, it's been a super successful event. Last year, unfortunately, due to some weather challenges, we had to move our event inside. So we had a slightly lower attendance last year, but we're hoping to be back outside again and having a large event again this year. It's been 2 years now since the event has been outside, so we're really hoping that this year's event will draw in an even larger crowd than last year.
And I'd like to find out more. Where should I look?
Yes, so if you head on over to Facebook, you can search UWRF Ag Day on Campus, and we are posting updates there every day and giving little teasers as to what people can see at our event.
And do I need to pre-register?
You do not. This event is open to anyone. There's no pre-registration required. Just show up as you'd like to. For community members, there is parking behind our university center along with right next to North Hall.
And to put on an event of this caliber, you must have some sponsorships. Anybody out there that you'd like to recognize?
Yes, we do have some sponsorships. And at this time, I don't have anyone in particular I would like to highlight, but we do have free t-shirts that we will be giving away the day of our event, which have all of our sponsors listed on them. So stay tuned for those. And our sponsors will also be shouted out on Facebook soon.
So once again, when is UW River Falls Ag Day on Campus?
Mark your calendars for April 11th, 2024. We open it up at 9:30 a.m. and activities will start from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. with our dinner at 5 p.m. the same day.
Sounds like a great event for agriculture to connect with the community and showcase agriculture industry, and that was LaShawna Vogel. She is UW River Falls Ag Day on Campus co-chair, and I'm Jill Welke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. Yeah! And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
WRJN is pleased to support the Royal Family Kids Camp with a very special opportunity for you to be courtside when the Bucks play the Celtics April 9th at Fiserv. This four-pack of courtside VIP tickets is valued at more than $2,000 and includes parking. WRJN listeners can bid on these tickets online at WRJN.com/bucks. The winning bid gets the tickets, and the entire amount supports Royal Family Kids Camp, a week-long residential camp for kids 7 to 11 years old who have been in and out of foster care, neglected, abused, or abandoned. Every camper has the opportunity to build friendships with other kids in the same situation and gain a lifetime of positive memories in the process. There is no cost to families. That's why this ticket action is so important. Your winning bid will help provide a great camp experience for several kids. Again, log on to WRJN.com/bucks to make your bid. And thank you from Royal Family Kids Camp and WRJN.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM WRJN and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, Todd Alba. On Monday, noon till 2, we'll check in with our March Madness brackets and also update you on news over the weekend on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport.
News, talk, and sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Stress and just a physical lack of resources. Farm Rescue is the group that it's named. It's added Wisconsin now to the list of states where volunteers step in to try to help farmers that are in need. Tim Sullivan is the executive director of Farm Rescue, headquartered in North Dakota, and he explains a little bit more about what this organization is.
Farm Rescue is a volunteer organization that covers 9 states now with the addition of Wisconsin. So we started in 2005 with a handful of volunteers and some leased equipment and Central North Dakota, and that first year we helped 10 farmers. This last June, we had the honor of assisting our 1,000th family since our beginning.
So that's Tim Sullivan, the executive director, the group called Farm Rescue, and he explains a little bit more about the actual physical presence they bring.
What we do in a nutshell is we are there to support farm and ranch families going through a crisis of either natural disaster of some kind where there's a storm or whatever. But mainly what we do is if there's an injury or an illness in the family, that's where we come in and support that family through planting assistance, harvesting, putting up hay, livestock feeding, and commodity hauling. We're there to protect their livelihood during that crisis.
Tim Sullivan, again, the group is called Farm Rescue out of Horace, North Dakota, now Wisconsin, as a part of their alliance. He is very quick to point out that they heavily depend on volunteers. Right now, they've got about 650 volunteers in the registry, and they said in a normal year, they'd have anywhere from 80 to 120 families that they serve, and they use about 200 to 250 volunteers in a year to get those things done. Stumach Ag Meteorologist along with us. You ever heard of Farm Rescue? I've heard it on a couple different national stories. Usually it's when there's been an untimely death in a family, like right before harvest, and then all those volunteers just kind of sweep in.
Yeah, that works that way in almost every neighborhood. When there's a problem on the farm, it seems like the neighbors turn out to help.
Yeah, that is very true, very true. Don't want to take it for granted, but you're exactly right. That's what I've witnessed in Wisconsin as well. You know what I've witnessed in Wisconsin lately? A lot of wet weather, but I mentioned to you before we started, at least the wet weather we're dealing with in our primary listening area is of the fluid kind, not the lumpy kind like they're dealing with in northwest Wisconsin.
Yeah, winter storm warning in northwest Wisconsin till 10 a.m. I see it includes Neillsville, but it's just north of Eau Claire and Wausau, but up into that northwest part of the state. And then we look at it, and the snow report comes in. Rudolph, that's northwest of Stevens Point in Portage County, 7.7 inches of snow in the last 24 hours. From what I saw the day before, Saturday was an inch or two in many areas, about 2 inches in central Wisconsin, Westfield. Here I'm seeing Wild Rose reporting just over 2 inches yesterday. So there's been more snow further up to the north and northwest, although take that back, and down around Monroe, I saw about 2 inches on Saturday. So not alone in some of these areas. Low pressure, the big storm system that brought the changing weather for the weekend. That low is around northeast Nebraska, western Iowa today. Not going to move too very quickly, but heads up into western Wisconsin for the day tomorrow. The radar is still indicating, of course, that snow is falling in north central and northwest Wisconsin, back into central parts of Minnesota. There's a rain mix from western parts of Iowa into south central and southeast Minnesota, and into central Wisconsin, a mix of precipitation, that rain, and in a few spots, a little freezing rain, that kind of thing. Temps, though, are fortunately enough starting to push above freezing in most areas. So hopefully we just talk about liquid precipitation. Even what's in central Wisconsin will push a bit further north today and end for a time. But that low builds in. More rain is expected later today and tonight into the day tomorrow. Thunderstorms a possibility Tuesday. Believe it or not, in that time, I've seen indications of rain amounts upwards of a half or 1 inch, an inch and a quarter in a few areas in eastern Wisconsin. A possibility as we head toward Wednesday could be quite a bit more wet as we make our way on through Tuesday and head for midweek. I'll have more forecast details right after this.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 62 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for March 26th through the 28th at the EAA grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit WisconsinPublicService.com.
With the push of a button, you could save lives and the livelihood of others in your area. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to help keep an eye on the sky this season. You can help by taking real-time weather observations on your phone and alerting the National Weather Service about severe weather occurring where you are. Volunteer weather observers play an important role in tracking and relaying vital weather information. To find out how you can become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast. When's it going to clear up out there?
Let's see, Wednesday. Yeah, that's it. Today, cloudy skies, windy day, and a little rain this morning in central Wisconsin will end redeveloping through the state as we head toward midday in the afternoon. Temps in the upper 40s and low 50s, warmer in the south, southeast winds 5 to 15, gusting near 30, clouds and rain overnight. Mid-40s for nighttime lows, not all that cool. Southeast winds still gusting near 30. Mostly cloudy Tuesday. Rain could be a thunderstorm. Upper 40s and low 50s with the south wind still gusting near 30. And mostly cloudy Wednesday, Pam. Some sun shining through a little later in the day, but upper 30s around 40 on Wednesday, cooling off with a west wind. Like I say, rain amounts upwards of an inch, maybe an inch and a quarter across southern Wisconsin by Wednesday morning.
Now, I'm just going to ask you now, is this like a pattern? We're going to go from dry drought to soppy, soapy April?
I haven't seen that pattern develop yet, and I sure hope not.
Yeah. You read my mind. All right, buddy.
Yes.
We'll catch up with you tomorrow, see what happens.
All right. See ya.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, bringing you up to speed on what's going on with weather details all over the state of Wisconsin. It's brought to you this morning, courtesy of Compeer Financial. Compeer Financial is your financial partner, committed to agriculture in rural America. Find all their resources available online and an office near you at compeer.com. I'll bet there's plenty of you out there that already have the golf clubs polished off. Maybe it's already in the truck or the car. You're ready to go. Well, I'll tell you what, the greens may not be green yet, but the staff that takes care of them is already busy. Stephanie Hoff got a chance to visit with one of those that are planning to be host for a PGA Tour next year. Stick around for that.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you hear? A beloved Racine tradition is celebrating 50 years and will be bigger and better than ever in 2024. It's Salmon-O-Rama. The annual July event is moving back to the festival hall grounds for this year's special occasion. Organizers say there will be unique festivities to commemorate the anniversary of Salmon-O-Rama, including fireworks, music, food with a focus on Wisconsin traditions like cheese curds, and with more event space, additional activities and attractions throughout the 10-day celebration. This is also a big part of the city's goal to attract more people and activities to downtown Racine. Save the dates, July 12th through the 21st. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
My conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dude Dad.
When you go to the movies and you get to the last climactic scene, you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun? Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about...
Let's pull out of this movie theater.
Cripes Cast, every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Crews are still searching a concert hall near Moscow where gunmen killed at least 137 people Friday night. ISIS claimed responsibility, but Russia blames Ukraine. CBS's Deborah Patta.
It's a charge Ukraine flatly denies and the U.S. has categorically repudiated.
It's D-Day for Donald Trump to put up almost half $1 billion in bond to cover his New York civil fraud judgment. CBS's Katrina Kaufman.
Trump did go to, he said, about 30 different surety companies to try to secure a bond, and he said that it was a practical impossibility to do so.
Rescue officials near Philadelphia have given up hope of finding a 6-year-old girl alive after she fell into a creek Saturday that flows into the Delaware River.
We were always hopeful that we could find something, but now there's just without a doubt, once we had the sunlight on our side and we were able to do a much more thorough search, you know, it wasn't going to be a rescue, it was going to be a recovery.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's Republican U.S. Representative Mike Gallagher is resigning. His last day in Congress will be April 19th. Gallagher told the Journal Sentinel that he plans to enter the private sector and spend more time with his family. Due to the timing of his resignation, no special election will be held, and the seat will remain vacant until voters decide on his replacement in November. Governor Tony Evers signed another 44 bills into law on Friday. Among them is a bill that makes it a felony for school staff members to commit an act of sexual misconduct against a student. That includes any verbal or physical conduct that could be considered sexual in nature. Evers said that he's happy to sign the bill, but isn't happy that the bill is needed. Another bill signed into law further restricts strip searches of students by school officials. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Marquette gets past Colorado. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles reached the Sweet 16 with an 81-77 win over Colorado head coach Shaka Smart.
Man, they're a talented, talented team, and they got going in the second half. But our guys never blinked, never wavered. We stayed connected. You know, down the stretch, we got enough defensive stops to win the game.
Marquette headed to Dallas, where they'll play North Carolina State just after 6 p.m. Friday night. NBA in Milwaukee, a big night for Chris Middleton, who needed just one more rebound on the way to a rare triple-double, so he asked Doc Rivers to keep him in the game.
I said a little word to Doc. I was feeling it. I realized I was 1 point away, where I could be in control. I can hopefully knock down the jump shot like I did tonight.
Middleton, 11 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds, as the Bucks bounce the Thunder, 118-93. They host the Lakers tomorrow night. Hockey, the Badger women's hockey team losing 1-0 to Ohio State. The Buckeyes claim the national championship. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Rain will develop this afternoon and continue through tonight and into tomorrow, with overall rain totals of a half inch to an inch by the time it winds down late tomorrow. Our high today, 52. The wind will be out of the south, 15 to 25, gusting to 30. Rain, windy tonight, 45. Tomorrow, rain will eventually change to a little snow. Our high tomorrow, 54. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Say it with me, the Boxing Six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on WRJN 1400 AM 99.9 FM in Racine, your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Our ride into spring continues. We have some great prizes to give away. A weekend getaway at Chula Vista Resort, a bike, and a three-way blender.
A three-in-one blender.
Oh, three-in-one. So I misread that. We're having our own political threesome
Todd
here.
Todd Alba going with the After Dark Show all of a sudden.
It's always
this
a pleasure.
Is Civic Media, not Cinemax, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Matt Nair on Air.
The hearing surrounding the alleged Biden crime family didn't go very well for House Republicans. They got nothing.
They also have no way of moving this country forward. Every 45 days, we're on the brink of a shutdown because these idiots can't come together and put forth a budget. How about this? You don't get to try to impeach anybody until you finish your homework.
I would heartily back that.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go. Go.
This
go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
Aki.
Who needs an alarm clock when you've got the farm babe? Pam Yonke and the Farm Report.
Well, you rainfall reporters are going to get to test your skills for the next 48 hours or so. Today, we're going to have kind of an overcast, windy day. Daytime highs today right around 52. Winds out of the southeast, gusting up to 20 miles an hour. They're telling me that we could actually get some fairly heavy rain tonight. Overnight lows down to 49. Then tomorrow, more rain on the way, 52. Wednesday, partly cloudy, 41. Sunshine back in the forecast on Thursday, 48 degrees. Cloudy skies on Friday and 57. Don't forget that rainfall reporter hotline for us. The talk text line is 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. So, final Monday of March, what can I tell you? On this day back in 1957, six countries founded what was called the European Economic Community. That was the beginning of the European Union, started on this day back in 1957. On this day in 1995, WikiWeb was launched. Have you ever tried Wiki? It is considered the world's most user-edible website. It is the most well-known and widely used of the Wiki links out there, and it started on this day back in 1995. Let's see. Happy birthday today to Sir Elton John, 77 years young. Also, Sex and the City, Sarah Jessica Parker. She is 59 years young. Happy birthday. And now you know. Well, it's time for a quick update on what's happening with our friends at Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. Remember, that is where our hardworking dairy farm families contribute their money for research, promotion, and education. Charity Seebecker's got an update.
In Wisconsin, we know how good our cheese is. It's anything but ordinary. But with over 600 varieties, it's important that people all over the world think that too. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and Suzanne Fanning, Chief Marketing Officer for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, joins us for this month's Check-In with Dairy Checkoff. And she says, we're on the right track thanks to your checkoff dollars.
When we market to the consumer, we're focused on that 90-90 rule. So Wisconsin is unique in that 90% of the milk that's produced goes into making cheese, and 90% of that cheese is actually sold outside of the state. So that rule really impacts what we do. We're really focused on marketing cheese, and we're really focused on marketing that cheese outside of the state's borders. And so I'm talking to people who love food in some of the really big food-centric cities. So you're not going to see a lot of our efforts right here in the state, which is kind of different than what people think. Back when I joined the organization, which is about 7 years ago, we did some research about what these foodies in these other areas think. They thought of us as cheese, but they thought of us more as kind of everyday and ordinary. So we knew that if we were going to sell more cheese, that we had to convince them that we made the best cheese in the world. And so that's what we've really been focused on doing.
Let's kind of cut to the maybe one of the most common questions that I hear farmers saying, why don't we see commercials on TV anymore?
In Wisconsin, we already know that we make the greatest cheese on the planet, right? And we are very careful about how we spend those farmer dollars. And so we don't want to be preaching to the choir. So we don't need to tell that story right here. We want to convince those people who are really driving the narrative all over the country and those people who are telling others what to eat and what to think. And the ones who are talking on social media, the ones who are driving those conversations with chefs and on TV and all of that, those are the people that we want to talk to, because those are the ones that ultimately have the influence out there. So that's why they're not necessarily seeing those things on TV. And also, years ago, you didn't have the opportunity as a marketer to define your audience and say, okay, I'm looking for people who are specifically interested in cheese, for people who have a specific income, looking for people of a certain age group, or I'm looking for people with a specific household. And so now we have such sophisticated targeting that we can do on social and with our digital advertising. We also have opportunities within search engine optimization. There are so many things that we can do, and marketing is so much more sophisticated than just buying a commercial on TV, that we can spend money so much more wisely. The other thing that we really, really focus on is public relations, because think about this. When you buy an ad, people realize that you're just paying money to say something about yourself. When you work in public relations and you earn somebody else saying something about you, then they realize, wow, all right, that must be something pretty cool. And so we work in public relations to get the word out about our products. And last year alone, we earned $77 million in public relations. So that means they were talking about Wisconsin cheese in Food and Wine magazine. We've been featured on the Drew Barrymore Show, in Kelly Clarkson, on the Today Show. We've been featured in Fox News, just so many different places. We focus on partnerships. Top Chef came to Wisconsin to film this season. So that's a very, very exciting thing for us. And we also focus on community. We have a great community called Cheeselandia that's really active, a group all over the nation that just loves Wisconsin cheese.
It sounds to me already that all of these efforts you're doing, it's paying off. But from your perspective, how do you know that these efforts are working?
We've increased our social engagement by 4,000%. Certainly the growth and health of our community is a big deal and something that we continue to measure. The recognition of our Proudly Wisconsin Cheese badge is on 98% of our packaging, and that has increased by 350%. But even bigger than that is that consider-to-purchase conversion rates have grown 80% in the last 5 years. So that means more people are buying Wisconsin cheese. We've seen an overall lift in brand perceptions. They're using words like awesome, it's wonderful, it's extraordinary. People are seeking out Wisconsin cheese simply based on the fact that it's from Wisconsin now. You know, we're in 98% of grocery stores across the country, and sales of Wisconsin specialty cheese are outpacing the entire specialty cheese category.
That was Suzanne Fanning, Chief Marketing Officer of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, along with us. If you're interested in learning more about how you can help drive demand for Wisconsin dairy, head over to wisconsindairy.org. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Severe thunderstorms, tornadoes, floods. What you see in real time helps tremendously in the warning process. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to relay local weather observations. Tracking vital weather information also plays an important role in gathering climate information used in our daily agricultural workday decisions. Volunteer citizen scientists have been lending a hand for decades and thoroughly enjoy this very important hobby. To become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
The voice of our rural emergency responders, hopefully getting a chance to be a little stronger when it comes to policy development. A bill that's been signed into effect by Governor Tony Evers would enlarge the Emergency Medical Services Board. The board right now has 11 voting members and provides advice to the Department of Health Services on a lot of different policies and topics. Membership is really heavily weighted right now towards paramedics, doctors, and professionals with PhD. Well, Representative Travis Tranel down in Southwest Wisconsin decided that the rural voice needed to be heard. So now they are expanding the Emergency Medical Services Board by two. And the two new board positions would be required to be filled by individuals serving in a rural volunteer department and be licensed below the paramedic level. The Wisconsin EMS Association, Wisconsin Fire Chiefs Association, Wisconsin's towns, and many local Southwest Wisconsin departments all supported that. So hopefully a voice that will be added to the conversation when it comes to our emergency response preparedness and hopefully funding all across the state. Dairy markets in Chicago on Friday were lackluster again. Barrel cheese dropped another 4.5 cents to 142.5. 40-pound block cheese was down 0.5 cents, 139.25. Double-A butter down 1¢ at 280.75. A lot of dairy farmers have been asking me, why do we continue to sink lower and lower? And one of the field representatives that works for a dairy company explained it to me like this. Imagine that you make a Thanksgiving meal. Tables full of food, and a family doesn't show up. You're going to have leftovers, right? Well, the family that's not showing up, quite honestly, is China. They are just not in the marketplace, and that's making a big impact on dairy and movement of dairy. That was kind of his synopsis. I thought it kind of told the story quickly. The Class 3 milk in Chicago right now is up a dime, though, at $15.67. The May milk up 8, $16.24. December new crop corn's unchanged right now at $4.75. November beans, they're currently down a penny at $11.86. The July wheat, that's currently up 9 cents, currently $5.78 a bushel. We're getting ready for the 67th annual Wisconsin Beef Improvement Bowl Sale. Beef is one of the areas where the markets seem to stay fairly robust, and now beef producers have a chance to find some excellent genetics as close as UW-Platteville. Alan Arndt is the president of the Wisconsin Beef Improvement Association. He's also a beef producer himself in Janesville, and he says they've got a good lineup of bulls available again this year.
We give time and effort into trying to get quality bulls in there. There was a time when there were, boy, three pens of pulled Hereford bulls, and then the demand for those went kind of soft, and we've actually got a pulled Hereford bull back in the sale again this year, and had one last year as well. So we've got a Charlet, we've got a Limflex. The majority are Angus, Red Angus, and Simmental influenced or Simmental bulls, but we get all kinds of bulls from whoever wants to nominate them.
Alan Arndt with the Wisconsin Beef Improvement Association, their annual bull sale coming up Saturday, April 6th at UW-Platteville's Pioneer Prairie Farm, or available online, dvauction.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great.
Packers, Bucks,
and coming in 2024,
the Brewers.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you hear? A beloved Racine tradition is celebrating 50 years and will be bigger and better than ever in 2024. It's Salmon-O-Rama. The annual July event is moving back to the festival hall grounds for this year's special occasion. Organizers say there will be unique festivities to commemorate the anniversary of Salmon-O-Rama, including fireworks, music, food with a focus on Wisconsin traditions like cheese curds, and with more event space, additional activities and attractions throughout the 10-day celebration. This is also a big part of the city's goal to attract more people and activities to downtown Racine. Save the dates, July 12th through the 21st. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Touchdown on your radio dial. Yeah! And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
The Lynx, even if there wasn't a real green vibrancy to the grass that you were playing, somebody is paying attention to the situation on that golf course. Stephanie Hoff found one greenskeeper that's really paying attention as they prepare to host one of the state's largest golf events in 2025.
Golfers may be holding out for warmer weather, but Eric Leonard is on the fairway. He's the golf course superintendent at TPC Wisconsin on the north side of Madison. They'll be hosting the American Family PGA Tour starting in 2025. Right now, Eric is focused on the quality of the golf course as we continue to be facing a drought.
Mainly with a drought over winter, you worry about like winter desiccation because the grass needs a certain amount of moisture to stay alive. Luckily, we did get some snow and some timely rains over the winter, so I'm not too worried about anything. The grass actually came out of winter very well. Maybe more insects are around just because it didn't really get cold enough to kill anything off like normal. That'd be the only concern that I'd have right now.
What are the pests that are not so good for golf courses?
Mainly grubs is what we worry about, and normally that's not until middle of the year, so we really don't worry about it until June, July. But if you don't treat preventatively, basically every year they can get out of hand, and with that they can start eating roots. And then after that, if you get some animals and critters in here, they really tear the grass up. So we try to be as preventative as possible with insecticides to keep everything in check.
I like what you said. They're food for bigger animals that might cause some damage. What's your biggest nightmare on four legs?
I guess back to grubs. Raccoons and skunks can do the most damage. They can rip stuff up overnight and you just show up and you're like, what happened? Other than that, cranes do the same thing, the sandhills. So they're cool birds to see, but they can devastate turf in a short time period. Otherwise, I enjoy seeing nature, and like I said, we're butted up to the marsh, so we get plenty of wildlife, whether it's ducks, geese, cranes, deer, turkeys. You see a little bit of everything out here, which is nice.
Do you ever have to reseed, or are you constantly adding seed? How does that work? What's that schedule like?
Yeah, I guess you're constantly working or tweaking on certain areas. I guess if you lose an area, you need to reseed. But golfers take what's called divots every time they swing. So every couple of days, you have a crew go out with a sand seed and fertilizer mixture that you put in the mix and fill those holes. And so, yeah, you're constantly seeding, I guess.
Sand, seed, and fertilizer mix. Is that something I can use for my lawn?
Yes, you can. Scotts has, basically when they have that patch mix that they call, it's basically the same setup. It's a mix of sand, or basically they put soil in there, or peat, and then fertilizer and seed, just like we do.
Do you have a special cocktail of grass varieties that you use?
When we renovated, there's something called the NTEP trials, and they do studies on all the different variety grasses, and then they put them through tests, and then they rate them. So I have a certain variety of bent grass on my greens, tees, and fairways that I looked at the studies, and these were the ones that I felt stood out for this area. So basically the same as corn or soybeans, they do the same thing on which ones seem to perform the best. So we're on the same level as them.
Is the same variety throughout the course, or do you need certain types of grass for the fairway, for the green?
My greens variety is a little bit different than my fairway variety and my tee variety. You can go wall-to-wall with the same mix, but certain bent grass varieties seem to be better for greens. Some seem better at a higher cut for fairways. But then your rough is typically bluegrass around here. Kentucky bluegrass is kind of the king for the rough around here. Some people are switching to tall fescue, but then you can see in the native areas here, we have fine fescue, and then we have native mix in the wetlands. So we have like a wet prairie mix also that is still trying to incorporate its way in here.
Well, and because look where we are, this area is kind of marshy, right?
Yep. This is, we border right up against the Cherokee Marsh. Cherokee Lake actually was pumped onto this back in, I don't know what year, 1940s or something. So that's where a lot of the peat came from. We were pretty much at water level. Now we raised the whole site, but the wetlands are still intact.
You are close to kind of a nature preserve. Does that change the rules, you know, that you have to follow, maybe compared to some other golf courses?
Yeah, I believe farmers also have to abide by the NR 151. We also have an NR 151, which is basically rules and regulations on how much fertilizer you can put out, how close to water you can put certain things out. So we have plenty of rules that we need to follow, and we're trying to do our best to obviously keep Mother Nature happy and not pollute any waterways or wetlands.
And there you have it. As you get your affairs in order for planting season, golf course superintendents are doing the same. Eric Leonard joining us from TPC Wisconsin in Madison. When he's not on the green, he's in the field at his home farm near Beaver Dam growing corn and soybeans. So he's got a few different hats he's wearing this spring. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport.
News talk and sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Agriculture feeds people and the economy as well, as you'll hear today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
An annual report called Feeding the Economy just came out detailing food and agriculture's economic impact in the U.S. The American Farm Bureau Federation is one of more than 30 industry organizations that funded the report. Roger Cryan is Farm Bureau's chief economist.
It's an effort to put together the impact of agriculture on the economy. The report goes over the impact of agriculture upstream and downstream. And, of course, farmers are at the heart of that. But it starts with the folks that supply farmers and goes all the way up to the folks that eat.
Brian summarizes.
The direct impact of the food supply chain from farm to retail was about 24 million jobs, about $990 billion in wages, and $3.8 trillion in economic activity. When you add in the multiplied impacts, it's more than doubled.
Brian says those multiplied impacts include everyone and everything that touches food and ag.
The agricultural supply chain is everywhere. It's critically important to the economy, let alone how important it is just to feed and clothe people. Numbers like this can help drive home to everybody the importance of the agricultural economy and why it's so important to recognize that we need a farm bill to support that enormous engine for economic activity.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Hi, this is Don Rosen. It's great to be welcome back to WRJN to super serve the folks in Racine and in the surrounding communities every morning. We're talking with local guests who have lifestyle and important information to share with you. We'll have local news, weather, sports, and some good morning fun as well. So wake up with me weekday morning 6 till 8 on 1400 AM and 99.9 FM in Racine and 98.1 FM in Kenosha. WRJN, hometown radio, refreshed.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you hear? A beloved Racine tradition is celebrating 50 years and will be bigger and better than ever in 2024. It's Salmon-O-Rama. The annual July event is moving back to the festival hall grounds for this year's special occasion. Organizers say there will be unique festivities to commemorate the anniversary of Salmon-O-Rama, including fireworks, music, food with a focus on Wisconsin traditions like cheese curds, and with more event space, additional activities and attractions throughout the 10-day celebration. This is also a big part of the city's goal to attract more people and activities to downtown Racine. Save the dates, July 12th through the 21st. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260 CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.